If you haven't been here yet this summer, you know we're doing a series on the book of Psalms, and it makes it easy because it's not like you have to hear part one to understand part two. We're just going through different Psalms. We do, however, and I don't know if there's still ones in the, on the back table out there, but there are still. If you didn't get it, an overview from the Bible Project of the book of Psalms just kind of helps helps you understand the book a little more. And we watched a video from the Bible Project as well, which I don't think I've linked onto the Facebook page yet, but should. So this week, it's called Rough. Sometimes as we're going through, and this is what we're talking about with the kids, sometimes you start going through stuff and it gets hard. It gets, you know, I mean, we understand everybody has a bad day. We understand every time, you know, now and then things go wrong. But sometimes it just seems to like stay wrong or get wronger. I'm allowed to say that, get more wrong, and it just gets bad, and we can begin to feel like God let us down. And I have a quote here from C.S. Lewis. I was explaining to a friend this morning, C.S. Lewis wrote two books on suffering. The first book is called The Problem of Pain. He wrote it in his earlier Christian life as he was thinking through the different challenges of suffering and why do good people suffer. And he wrote The Problem of Pain, which is a beautiful explanation, theological coverage of why do good people suffer. Then later in life, he met a woman, fell in love, got married, and experienced this whole new life of being a married man and having the love of his life, so being a bachelor. And then she got cancer and died. And he found that his nice theological answers, which are true in The Problem of Pain, were no good as far as they didn't help. And he writes a new book called A Grief Observed, where he takes us through his struggle. And he makes this comment in A Grief Observed. When you are happy, so happy that you have no sense of needing him, so happy that you are tempted to feel his claims upon you as an interruption, if you remember yourself and turn to him with gratitude and praise, you will be, or so it feels, welcomed with open arms. But go to him when your need is desperate, when all other help is vain. And what do you find? A door slammed in your face and a sound of bolting and double bolting on the inside. After that, silence. And so this was his experience as he found himself suffering as his wife had died, well, had cancer and suffered through cancer and then passed away. What do we do when that's how we feel? And that's what our psalm is going to talk to us about today. So let's pray and then dive into the word. Good morning, Father, again, and Lord, we just thank you for the great time singing songs that got us thinking about this already, walking through the valley of the shadow of death when we face hard times. Lord, thank you for the kids and just their simple joy and their simple faith, and we just thank you so much for the life they bring and how much they give to us, and we're so thankful to have them be part of us here. Lord, as we consider these hard times, as we consider hard things and look into our own hearts and our own struggles with you, Lord, we thank you for your word, which is going to hit us in real life and deal with our real issues and help us understand you a bit better. So, Lord, help us to hear you and see you and respond to you in your word this morning. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn to Psalm 89. Psalm 89. And this is, again, the end of book three. This is a long one. So I don't know that we want to just burn our way through reading the whole thing, just for time's sake. But I want to read parts of it as we go through it and look at what the psalmist is doing here and then understand what it means for us. So the first part of the psalm, you can break it down as Psalm 89, verses 1 through 18. And let's look at a little bit of the first 18 verses. I will sing of the loving kindness of the Lord forever. To all generations I will make known your faithfulness with my mouth. Some of you might know that song. There's a lot of songs in these psalms. Bits of them have turned. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness, with my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. I saw lips moving. I didn't hear anything. You can sing with me when I do that. It's okay. I'm not going to redo it, though. We got to keep moving. That's Psalm 89:1. For I have said, loving kindness will be built up forever. In the heavens you will establish your faithfulness. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn to David, my servant, I will establish your seed forever and build up your throne to all generations. The heavens will praise your wonders, O Lord, your faithfulness also in the assembly of the holy ones. Who in the skies is comparable to the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty is like the Lord? A God greatly feared in the council of the holy ones and awesome above all those who are around him. And it continues. It's just pure praise of how great and how mighty and how wonderful God is and the things that he's done. Verse 11, the heavens are yours, the earth is also yours, the world and all it contains, you have founded them. The north and the south, you have created them. Tabor and Hermon shout for joy at your name. And all the way down to verse 17 and 18, for you are the glory of their strength, and by your favor our horn is exalted. For our shield belongs to the Lord, and our king to the Holy One of Israel. So it's just, the psalmist starts off, and this sounds like a really uplifting psalm. I mean, he's just talking, God is great, and God's in all of creation, and God's done all this thing, and he beats everyone else. He's the greatest of them all, the heavens and loving kindness. And then in verses 19 through 37, the next big chunk, now he rehearses all the great promises that God has given them as a people. Once you spoke in vision to your godly ones and said, I have given help to one who is mighty. I have exalted one chosen from the people. I have found David, my servant. With my holy oil I have anointed him, with whom my hand will be established. My arm also will strengthen him. The enemy will not deceive him, nor the son of wickedness afflict him, but I shall crush his adversaries before him and strike those who hate him. My faithfulness and my loving kindness will be with him, and in my name his horn will be exalted. Verse 30, he says, well, what if he messes up? If his sons forsake my law and do not walk in my judgments, if they violate my statutes and do not keep my commandments, then I will punish their transgressions with the rod and their iniquity with stripes. But I will not break off my loving kindness from him, nor deal falsely with my faithfulness. My covenant I will not violate, nor will I alter the utterance of my lips. Once I have sworn by my holiness, I will not lie to David. His descendants shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me. It shall be established forever like the moon, and the witness in the sky is faithful. So he says, I am sticking with David no matter what. Even if his descendants disobey me, I'll correct them, but I will preserve them. I will not abandon them. So first it celebrates how great God is, and then it celebrates his great promises. And then starting in verse 38, it starts sounding different. And depending on your translation, you might immediately catch that this is now a transition, because in my translation, the first word is but. Anytime you say, wow, God is really great, and God has given us all these promises, and God has promised always to be with us, but. Well, that can't be good. But, verse 38, you have cast off and rejected. You have been full of wrath against your anointed. You have spurned the covenant of your servant. You have profaned his crown in the dust. You have broken down all his walls. You have brought his strongholds to ruin. All who pass along the way plunder him. He has become a reproach to his neighbors. You have exalted the right hand of his adversaries. You have made all his enemies rejoice. You also turned back the edge of his sword and have not made him stand in battle. You have made his splendor to cease and cast his throne to the ground. You have shortened the days of his youth. You have covered him with shame. How long, O Lord, will you hide yourself forever? Will your wrath burn like fire? Remember what my span of life is. For what vanity or emptiness you have created all the sons of men. What man can live and not see death? Can he deliver his soul from the power of Sheol? Well, that took a nasty turn. God, you've abandoned us. You haven't stood up. You haven't kept your promise. I mean, that's pretty rugged. And then it says, and God, how long are you going to let this go on? This is bad, and you should have already put a stop to it. And it seems like God has not kept all the promises that he just was rehearsing. And everything is going wrong. Verse 49, where are your former loving kindnesses, O Lord, which you swore to David in your faithfulness? Because a few minutes ago, he had been talking about how God's loving kindness would always be with him, and now he says, and where is it? You told us we'd have it, where is it? The psalm's really changed. And it ends in verses 50 and 51. 52 is an amendation to the end of book 3. The psalm ends with 50 and 51. Remember, O Lord, the reproach of your servants, how I bear in my bosom the reproach of all the many peoples, with which your enemies have reproached, O Lord, with which they have reproached the footsteps of your anointed. And there the psalm ends with reproach. It started so differently, and the psalm ends with reproach. And again, remember, Psalm 50, verse 52. Is the end of book 3 and is separate from the psalm. Wow. It started out really great, then it ends up really bad, and it ends with a reproach. So what does this say to us? What does it mean? Again, you read a psalm, you say, all right, I read a psalm. How does it bless me? Well, again, this whole series has been, and the reason we called it Haven't Got a Prayer is because the Psalms are telling us how to relate to God. The Psalms, this is the prayer book of the Bible. It's telling us how to talk and communicate with God. And if you remember, for those of you who are here, if you've listened to our earlier messages, we're talking about the fact that we approach God not through obligation, but with opportunity, and not under expectation, but with expression. And here, the psalmist is helping us know how to approach God. And the first thing we see here is that there is no happy ending in the psalm. The psalm doesn't end with, and then God rode forth and we all lived happily ever after. It ends with, the enemies have reproached me. Your enemies are running rampant, God. And so it ends with reproach and problems. And the thing that really this laid on my heart, and I know it's very true of me, it's always been very true of me. I can think back to when I was a kid, and it's always been very true of me, and I think it's true of all of us, or most of us. When we are dealing with rough stuff, we feel like we need to, if you're in the middle of a bad place, and it's really, there's this need to try to get through it as quickly as possible and get to a good place. And I don't mean that you always know that you can make what's happening go away. You may realize that you can't change what's happening, but psychologically and emotionally and spiritually, we feel like we have to, maybe I can't make this go away, but I got to get to a good place. I got to get to the place where I get it, where I understand, and I can feel better. And then I can get through it once I feel better. Once I get a grip on it, I've got to get through. So God, help me get to the point where I'm not feeling bad anymore. And then if I still have to go through it, I'll still go through it. But I don't want to feel bad anymore. I need to get past this struggle. I don't like feeling this way. And sometimes you just can't get there. Because sometimes it's just bad. And sometimes just everywhere you turn, it's defeat. And it's struggle. And it's rough. And you want to get to that good place, at least in your heart and mind, and you can't. And we're just in a rough spot. What do we do when you can't just say, all right, I'm going to pray, and by praying, I'm going to feel better? Well, sometimes what you're dealing with is too hard. And that's what's going on here. This, we don't know exactly when this was written, but it was probably when one of the subsequent kings was being, because